can do without after ball breakfast in the mornings.
Good morning, lads. How are you, Jeremy?
They're fun. They get on well.
If you start the day with some good energy.
I love watching.
It's brilliant.
Huge fan, yeah.
Listen to Off the Ball Breakfast live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Highly recommend it.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Koigig Podcast.
Alfie McNamee here, live from Parky Queeve in Cork, and hence the very echoey sound that I'm sure there probably is. I am sat in the middle of a corridor with lots of things going on around me, so please do excuse any weird sounds. To look back on the game against England and also look ahead to Tuesday's game against France, I am joined by the one and only Captain Karen Duggan. Karen, how are we doing?
We are doing very well. We are not depressed after playing England, which is a good thing.
This is a very good thing. Yeah, no, definitely would take that, because for large portions of that match, I was quite concerned as to what this podcast was going to sound like. But thankfully, our old pal, Jayanne Russell, bopping up in the 94th minute, providing us our first goal of the campaign and potentially one of the best storylines that this team has seen in a long time, in a week where a happy storyline was definitely very much welcome.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about the goal in a bit, but overall impressions of that game, how it went?
I don't know. Kind of similarly to the previous time we played. I mean, you see the gulf in talent every time we play these teams, because they are that much ahead of us in terms of their development. And there's a reason why these are top 10 teams and we're not there. So the realistic part of me watching it is like, keeping the goal difference down was good. You know, we had a few forays, particularly in the first half, a few forays into their half, which were good. And then their final decision-making, the final third decision-making was poor in the first half. And I think that's the next stage of our development. I think that we're not there yet in terms of that. And that's why before the England game, I think we'd had 7 shots on target in the whole qualifying campaign. We're not going to go and pepper the opposition's goal and give the fans a huge amount to scream about at the moment. But we're putting ourselves in the best possible position by keeping the goal difference down. And we did that. So, I don't know how to sum it up. How do you sum it up? It was grand.
It was grand, yeah. I was very unoptimistic for large portions of the game. I think I was talking to you at halftime and I was rather scathing, and I was also accused of being very scathing on Twitter about it all. But there was just, I think the penalty incident in particular, and there was a couple of other times where we kind of tripped over each other, and it felt like we'd gone back to that, like, almost pre-Vera coming in time where we were our own undoing rather than going up against big opposition. And I was really worried that that was creeping in, because maybe the team were losing confidence a bit because of the results, even though I really liked a lot of the football that we've been playing over the last couple of games. I think it's really positive football, especially for when we do get into the playoffs. Yeah, I just wondered, did the mentality slip a little bit there? My other concern slightly is that I feel like I still don't know what this team is. Like,
yeah,
every time the starting lineup comes out, I have no idea who is going to be on it or...
And it's going to change again on Tuesday.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And, you know, even things like on Saturday, having Emily Murphy and Amber Barrett there, I didn't necessarily expect to see that lineup. And then you had Leanne and Julianne come on and do absolutely brilliantly in the roles. But again, not getting that sort of like full game to develop those relationships
and develop those partnerships. So the fact that we don't know what this squad is at the moment does concern me like a tiny bit.
Yeah, I think that that's really valid. I think I definitely raised my eyebrows when I saw the starting lineup, not just because of the personnel up top, but because of the formation. Our best performance was the Swedish game, Sweden away. I think in these games, when you pack out the midfield, you give yourself a better chance. I would prefer to see a 4-5-1 than a 5-3-2. I think it's such a hard shift for the midfielders. And like you referred to the second goal, when we ended up going all the way back to our centre backs, it was because the midfielders didn't have the energy to make correct angles for us, and we just ended up facing our own goal. And it's because it was such a hard shift. And again, your decision making is impacted then when you do have that. I think we could, in these games, make life easier for ourselves a little bit. I thought that the press was really good. I actually didn't think we got as exposed as I thought the formation initially would give on the wings. But I think that we can put ourselves in a better position to stay in the match for longer if we can frustrate them in midfield as opposed to at the back line. And we just saw the quality shine through for that first England goal. I was worried after that because that piece of play was absolutely brilliant. And then they were running through us directly quite a bit. So again, just considering the calibre of opposition, and we'll be thankful that they didn't go gung-ho for us. I think 2-1 was as good of a, we would have probably snatched someone's hand off for that.
Oh yeah, I think if you had said to us before the game, when we recorded our last podcast, it'll be 2-1 on the final score, we would have been like, great, take that, absolutely. You know, it's a tight win, or it's a tight loss for us, but it's a win in the sense of we've got a goal. That's something that's off our backs because it's kind of been playing on us for a long, long time now. I think it's just, again, this team is so frustrating because I know the caliber of opposition that we're up against is way higher than we should be expecting to play. But just whenever we do show those bright sparks or those moments, or you have,
can we do it more consistently?
Yeah. And I kind of thought we were building more towards that consistency, especially after the Swedish game. So, you know, we were able to hold for longer. And then when that first goal went in after, what was it, like 5 minutes or something, it was just like, oh no. And I felt like then the 15, 20 minute period after that, we were just scrambling and we lost our heads a little bit. And we found it really difficult to get back into the groove, and then we slowly did. But yeah, I think consistency is the word.
I think it harps back to the point you made originally, is you can't develop consistency when you don't know who you're going to be partnering with and what the formation is going to be and what distances you need to have and how to create angles for each other. And that comes from certainly locking down a formation, because you have to really get used to that, and everyone then can maybe fill in their roles in that. But then we do need to really just settle on it, a starting 11. I think it's time now that we did that, because you don't want to be going into this qualifier being like,
am I playing? Am I not?
Yeah. Like, I think that's a question that Eileen probably does need to look at.
Why do you think she hasn't settled on a starting lineup? Like, I know some of the players, for example, are coming back in off injuries, so maybe haven't had that consistency of playing time. We also have the fact that a lot of players are in their off season at the moment, so you're not getting to see them week in, week out, and how they're performing.
Yeah, I think we have been upset by injuries. I think when Heather is back, she's a guaranteed starter. Katie McCabe, obviously guaranteed starter. Caruso, potentially guaranteed starter as well. So that they're probably the people who've been in and out. I think Jessu has played her way definitely into a starting position as well. And then it just comes down to the back line. And we know we're stacked at the back, but we played four central defenders, really. I don't love that, you know, in terms of how we're going to develop into the next stages where we start to increase the number of times that we're in the opposition half in meaningful ways. I don't think we should have four centre halves on the pitch to be doing that. I'd like to see us have actual natural fullbacks. I think it's something that we haven't had. We've had centre mids playing fullback, like we had Jamie Finn, we've had Anya O'Gorman, now we've got Aoife Mannion, Jessu. Aoife Mannion for me, centre back. Jessu for me is better higher up the pitch. Now, I thought they did really well against England, especially Aoife, considering and the home leg up against Hemp. That was a really tough night for her. So I thought she did well to come back from that. I also thought it was strange that England didn't put Hemp on that side. But anyway, small bets, small mercies. So, yeah, it's hard. It's hard when you're dealing with injuries and stuff. But then you have to look at what your ambition is, and is playing four centre backs and having someone like Megan Campbell on the bench who's actually a natural fullback a good idea? I don't know.
Yeah, I think if I could, I think I would feel a little bit more confident in the squad if I thought there was that consistency of who's going to be starting. And like, fair enough, you're always going to have people coming in and out with injuries, but it just feels like the partnerships on this team haven't been fully developed yet.
Yeah, I'd love us to like nail down who, I'd love us to nail down a number six, because then I think it frees Denise to be an eight box to box, and a 10 then potentially being either Jessie or Katie. I think that that's actually quite a pivotal role that needs to be nailed down. We've had Megan Connolly, we've had Jess Stapleton, you know, we've had Rusha, Lily, kind of, we've had a good bit of rotation in there. And I think we want to get the best out of our best players. And we saw Denise was absolutely brilliant the other night. So maybe that is the best partnership for her. But I think consistency, I think let's just nail it down. Right, wrong, indifferent, nail it down.
No, definitely the consistency. I think we probably complained a little bit about it under Vera, that we were almost too consistent and people weren't given opportunities to break into the team, whereas I feel now we've gone maybe a little bit too much the other way. Because like, you obviously, you want, especially some of the younger players, or even the likes of Julianne, you know, she might not necessarily have gotten the opportunity to come in under someone like Vera. And obviously that was a very successful test for us against England on Friday. In terms of tomorrow night, what's your ideal starting 11?
Obviously Courtney.
No way.
Yeah.
You don't want Sophie Whitehouse in there now?
No. Caitlin, Anna, Bahi, Jessu, Megan Campbell, Rusha, Denise, Katie. How many players am I up to? Three.
Seven.
Julianne, Leanne.
Yeah.
Okay. I think. I know maybe you're asking Rusha to be very, very disciplined and hold the number six role there, her or Lily. But yeah, just get Katie and Denise closer, I think, would be a good idea. I think Leanne, we all get excited when she gets more game time, but I think, again, consistency, make her more comfortable. That's what I think I'd like to see for this game, considering the players we are missing. And what I would say is, I know this might sound negative or whatever, but for these games, it's not always about having your technically best players on the team. You know, the people who do the nice play of style, because you just have to be able to run and run and run and run and run and run your ass off, because we saw that that's the only time we caused difficulty was when we could actually execute a really good press against them. We're not going to have that much of the ball. So I'd be putting our biggest, strongest, fittest girls on the park. And then when we are at a point where we can start playing, maybe you tinker around with things then.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think
at the moment, as we've said before, it's very much about getting those results and making sure that we're in the best possible position, so that if it does come to a stage later on where, you know, we're in a playoff and we want to try and play some more football, we've got ourselves there. Let's talk about the goal, because we finally got one.
Yeah.
It took us long enough. It was your old buddy, so it couldn't have been a better opportunity. It was kind of funny at the time it came, because in the press box, you know, everyone was finishing their match report. I was like, I think the only person actually looking at what was happening on the pitch, and I just like stood up and yelled, and I was like, goal! And everyone was like, what's happening?
It's funny because it did just completely change the reflection on the game, because I think I was a bit similar to you. We were sitting in studio in RT and we were kind of like, what can we take from this? And up to that point, you know, we didn't really create that, and we were the masters of our own downfall for the second goal. So the second half hadn't gone brilliantly, but then the complexion completely changes, because now we're saying, God, instead of going a whole year without scoring a goal, we've just scored against the European champions. And it's this brilliant story by one of the best servants of Irish football that we've had. And yeah, wonderful story. So it's funny how moments can change games. And the girls keep talking about, oh, if we can cut out these silly mistakes and these little moments. But it's also about creating moments for yourself as well, especially considering the calibre of the opposition. And it was route one. It was three subs that were involved. And thank God, because it makes us a lot more optimistic for Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of cursing in the press boxes. Like, headlines were rewritten and leads, yeah. The stories were rewritten, because as you say, it did put a totally different spin on the evening. And I don't, like, it probably puts a different spin on the campaign to a certain extent as well. The fact that, you know, if we had got to the other side of this without scoring a single goal, I think we would have reflected on that as a massive missed opportunity. And I think you are right, like, we talk a lot about the defensive side of things, but we don't really talk all that much about the creative side, apart from the fact that we're not particularly good at. And maybe that is something that we need to talk about more and explore more and see the potential in more as well.
I don't know. Can we at the moment? Like, we just have to be realistic. We're not going to get those opportunities, but it is, I do think, decision-making. I do think that first half we let ourselves down a little bit. So I think, again, we're going to see changes because of that.
Well, hopefully we will see some changes because of that. Eileen kind of gets away with the fact that she's like played two games now where she's hooked players at 45 minutes and we're not really diving into that too much?
Because, to be honest, they were correct decisions. Now, it calls into question maybe her original selection, but I'd like that she was brave enough and she... I think that shows that she is owning the fact that maybe the starting lineup wasn't correct, but she's willing to take that on. A lot of managers are very bullish in that they won't change things. We saw it took a lot for even like Gareth Southgate to change England. Like, he was sticking with Trent until he could stick with him no more in midfield. You know, that kind of way. So some managers, it's too much for their ego to accept that they made a poor decision. Whereas I'm taking the positives here. I'm saying that Eileen is willing to own that and make changes and isn't worried about hurting people's feelings and is doing everything for football decisions. And it worked out. You have to say the substitutes that she made did work out.
Yeah. Oh, they certainly did. I mean, as you said, three substitutes involved in the goal. The goal came from a substitute. I think you saw a load of energy from Leanne and Julianne when they both came on. And they just had that speed as well. Like, Jesus, Julianne is fast. I was watching her and she was like, up there with some of the English players in terms of the speed she could get on the ball, like your Lauren Hemps and stuff. So that was very impressive to watch. And I think gave us a really good option of getting in behind the defence, which we didn't really have in the first half at all. So in terms of tomorrow night, I assume we're going for the same thing that we have been going for all along, in that we're not necessarily expecting a win, but a good performance, a strong performance, potentially another goal as well.
And hoping that because France have already qualified that they may be celebrated a little bit during the week. I think that would be good. Again, the quality that France have, we'd be surprised. But I don't mind if we go negative in terms of our style of play in this game, because we're three goals to the good of Poland, I think, at the moment, three or four goals to the good. So it's important that we continue this vein of form where we don't get well beaten, even if that means, you know, we don't get another goal. Like, but yeah, obviously you'd love another goal. You think then you feel like you really have a platform to build off, because this one goal has changed the complexion. Two goals would be amazing. whether that'll happen now, I don't know, but I think it'll be great. You know, it'll be kind of like a different crowd. It's earlier in the day, it'll have a different feel to it down in Cork, and it's a great moment for the Cork girls, and there'll be a big crowd there for them. I think it'll be good. I think it'd be good for really fans to get out and support them in this game, and then they'll feel the love going into that that qualifier, because it's not going to be the easiest route. But I still think they've grown something throughout this tournament. I still think the fact that I was looking at the screen the other day, and the fact that there's a traveling fans section now is crazy. Like, this team has done so well to like just promote the women's game, and you want to pay them back for what they've done in a way. But yeah, Tuesday, France are very good. I don't know if anyone listening saw Karshui's goal, where she nearly broke the net from about 45 yards out.
Yeah, I saw it all right. And I was like, oh no. Although maybe she's got it out of her system now, so it's all fine. I'm interested to see what it is like tomorrow night. So it's just, my train was stuck between Cork and Mallow for 2 hours today. So I missed all the pre-match media, but I did get to see a little bit of train. And just when I was trying to work out where on earth the media room was in Parky Cueve. And the pitch is quite, like, the actual football pitch is quite smaller than the pitch that's there. So you do feel like you're a little bit removed.
Yeah, I don't love that.
Yeah.
There is a bit of a gap. All right. Yeah, I can take a little bit from the atmosphere. I prefer smaller stadiums that are packed out. I actually love Tala.
Yeah.
For the girls.
The atmosphere in Larne, to be fair, was class. Like, it was 23,000 that were there. And as you say, it was the
biggest away traveling support that I've seen so far in this campaign in Larne. Let me tell you, not an easy place to get to or get out of. I spent 2 hours standing outside Carrow Road just trying to get back to my hotel on Friday night. As you can tell, Cathy's had a great time traveling in this international window. But even just around the city, and like, I know in my hotel and a couple of the other ones, there was a lot of Irish people there. It was good atmosphere. You're starting to recognize faces as well, you know, from being on different trips and seeing like those hardcore supporters. So it should be good. I think there's 14,000 tickets sold so far for tomorrow night, still ones there. There's also, because it's kicking it off at 6, if you're coming from Dublin, you definitely make that 9:30 train back in. So, you know, there are ways, there's air coaches that are running all over the country late into the evening too. So there are lots of different ways to travel. I love the way I'm convincing people to travel to Cork after I spent
that means tourism
5 hours on a train down here today. Yeah, no, and I think we're also seeing a change where, you know, there's more chance, there's more people recognizing things. It's not that sort of we've just joined atmosphere, which maybe we've just started following atmosphere, which maybe we've seen in previous times. So I think that's good. It should be good fun. The weather is absolutely awful here at the moment. It was a lot nicer in Dublin whenever I left this morning, so I don't know will that have much of an effect. I mean, it lashed in Norwich for the 2 days that we were there, but it didn't actually seem to have a mad effect on the play, which I was kind of surprised about. I thought it might slow things down a bit, but it did not. I also want to give a word to the under-19. So by the time we finish recording this, their game will have ended. I think it's still nil all. From what I've seen, but how important are experiences like this? So they're playing, for anyone who doesn't know, they're playing at the European Championships at the moment, playing Spain. How important are these experiences for then progressing either in the league or also into the senior side?
I think it's huge because it gives you an extra campaign with that age group and you experience again a higher level of football. I was just watching a bit of it before we came on here in Spain or top class, but we're holding them out, and obviously that's going to give you confidence. I also think that the 19s coming through, I think every age group coming through now, they are technically better than what we would have been at that age because they are getting so much more football and so much more training, and I think it's really, really exciting for them. It's huge for their development and they love it when they come out, and that's where that under 23 little block needs to kick off straight away, because they're going to be living off that buzz for a while, but it doesn't last forever, and the FAI need to capitalize on it and make sure that these girls are nurtured and have a pathway through, because I know from playing with them in the league, they all want to go professional. They all will do their best to do that, but they're going to need a little bit of help, you know, because we know where the clubs are at. The clubs are doing their best, but it's not enough. It's not going to get any more investment by the sounds of things. So I think it's huge. It's hugely important just for experience that level. And just, they're going to be getting so many messages and of good luck and congratulations and all that throughout the tournament. And it's just going to give them such a lift and just really motivate them going forward. So, yeah, I think it's great. Like, I'm so jealous. Like, obviously the group was made and you're looking at Germany and Spain and you're thinking about, oh, but that's where you want to be at. That's where you want to be playing. And it not only is it great to experience it, it shows you the level that you need to get to earlier. So if we see these teams are fitter than us, stronger than us, these girls are only at a development stage. So it's possible for them to recognize that and find a way then to try and equal that level.
Yeah, and I mean, as we said there,
there's only about 80 minutes gone at the moment as we're recording this, but they're nil all against Spain, and that's exactly the sort of like results that will be such a big boost going into the other games in the group, you know, if they can manage to hold on to it. And just from looking at some of the general stats, it looks like they, Spain, really have been on top of us for the game, you know, over 70% possession. But 24
if we could
shots.
Get to 80 minutes against France on Tuesday like that, I wouldn't care, because I do think this conceding early thing, I know we only conceded late against Sweden, but we've conceded considerably earlier than we had been. I think that that's a real cause for concern, because I know we're saying that we're keeping it tight then, but a lot of teams are taking the foot off the pedal a little bit as well against us. So I think to be more competitive, we need to stop conceding as early as we are. I think we need to be a bit more nasty. I think there's more in us in that regard.
I would agree. And I was paying particular attention to that after you had said it in the last podcast that we did. And there was just times where either we were waiting on a ball to come to us rather than being proactively going for it. You know, Amber got caught a couple of times where she was kind of standing there waiting for a ball and an England player would just skip in front of her and they were away, or else just even physically battling people off the ball. I thought Leanne actually did, for a small player, I thought she did that really well. Whenever she came on, you know, she was dogged, and you could just see that slight difference of playing in the WSL as well, I think, that the advantage that she had. And obviously we all know Leanne, when she's fit and she gets a bit of time under her belt, can do great things. So bit more nastiness, bit more, but no yellow cards. So I think there's quite a few of us that are on yellow cards at the moment as well. I don't know if they carry over into the playoffs or if it's just the group stages. There's like six. There were six on Saturday, I think, five or six. So I'll just throw it. Someone can tweet me if I'm right or wrong about that, whether they carry over or not, because I actually have done no research into it.
Well, at least Katie's slate is clean again.
Well, that's true. We get another nice clean run at that. Hopefully that'll mean like jinxed her or something and she gets sent off after like half an hour tomorrow night, which anything is possible at this stage. I mean, I was saying how important Nifahi was to the team in my preview on Off the Ball, and then the inevitable happened with the penalty. So
that wasn't great.
Well, everyone has their moments. And speaking of Katie, actually, there was that rumor that came out on Friday evening that she may be off to Lyon. I was like, wow, Arsenal heart a little bit more.
Yeah, Arsenal said she's not for sale, but is she not for sale at that price? Or what's your feeling on it?
I feel like she's not for sale. But also, as Rose
rightly pointed out to me by many, 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 many people, that if she ever wants to win a Champions League title, that may be the best place for her to go. So, you know,
it'd be a cool experience as well.
Yeah. So if like she was to go to them and say, this is something that I really want to do, you know, Arsenal are generally quite, like, they're not like United or something where there was that whole Mary Earp situation and she was visibly unhappy. Like, I don't think Adabel's going to want that vibe around the team. So if it's a decent price and she wants it, I can see it maybe happening. But I think it's very dependent on what her feelings are at the club, whether she wants to move or not. I mean, she seems quite happy there, but you never really know. I suppose she doesn't really know anything different either. She had stint in Glasgow and obviously back home, but Arsenal has been the place for the last few years.
Yeah. Watch this space.
I can't go through this again, Claire. This has already been too devastating.
The summer transfer window for me, but Mina going to the City. Although at least I think it'd be worse if she went to like Chelsea or somewhere in the WSL. I can kind of handle if it's a European team and I don't need to watch or see often, basically. Score predictions for tomorrow?
2-0. What are you thinking?
I was kind of thinking around the same. See, I have this feeling since the last game that it's either going to go very well for us or it's going to be the opposite. But I think with the way the team is trending, I feel like they're trending more towards a strong performance and a this is our last hurrah, let's make the most of it. And again, we still do have the goal difference thing with Poland to try and avoid that League A team in the second round of qualifying. So, you know, it's 3 goals. We just need to make sure that we hold on to those 3 goals
Yeah, but also Iceland are in an unbelievable run of form because they just beat Germany 3-0. So you'd be expecting Iceland to put a couple past Poland as well. So
yeah, hopefully. I just want to keep things nice and together. And not
yeah, keep it in our own hands.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Karen, for joining me. I look forward to our review of everything and how it went down. And the quick pod off the ball is sponsored by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. Hopefully see some of you guys down in Cork tomorrow evening at the game. And if not, we will catch up with you very, very soon.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.